This morning has been just a prophetic release of the Holy Spirit in this house since early this morning. And the prophetic release is this: it's not me prophesying over it, you, but you hearing what God's speaking over you. We get in a big hurry sometimes. God just wants to just listen. The greatest word that you can receive is the word that God speaks to you.
Right.
And having ears to hear and getting in a place and getting ourselves in a position in a place where we can just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. He wants to have an encounter with you. He don't want you just to know about him. He wants you to know him intimately. And it's his desire for you to have an encounter with him. And during the worship, in the place of worship, during our daily worship, the Bible says no man comes to God unless the Spirit woos him or the Father woos him. And the Father sends out a beacon of a message, a wooing, a invitation to come to him. And he stands at the door and knocks. And the Bible says, and then if you answer the door, then I will come in. Oftentimes he stands at the door and knocks, and we're so busy with life. It's not because we don't love God, just because we're busy with life. We don't even hear the knock at the door. And I love it when we just wait on him. I love it when we just say, okay, God, we're just going to let you speak to us. Because in this place today, every sickness, every disease, every problem, every marriage situation, every financial situation, just name the list, all of those things can be taken care of by a good Father. And there's pain in this place today because we're human beings. We got struggles. We go through life, we got struggles. But in the middle of our pain is promise. And he walks into the middle of our pain and he prepares a table before us, the scripture says, in the presence of our enemies, when the enemies come with everything against you. The Lord said, let me prepare a table before you. Just come and dine at this table of beauty. Come and dine at this table of goodness. And come dine at this table of mercy. Come dine at this table of joy. Come dine at this table of peace. I got more for you than just an appetizer. I got a full course meal with dessert. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
With dessert. Full course meal. I'm not going to preach my message today that I was going to preach, but I'm going to preach what I feel like the Lord has put on my heart for just a few minutes. I was staying here in first service, and the Lord just began to speak this word to me about walking and living in freedom. And we talk about freedom, but we don't really completely understand it. But I want to help you with it this morning, just a little bit, as the Lord helps me with it. How many knows when I'm helping you with it, the Lord's helping me with it? Can I get better? Amen?
Amen.
Your favorite food to serve is the one you like to eat the most. Right? I like this. I desire this. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, when you continue to embrace all that I teach, you prove that you are my true followers. I'm reading from John 8. 31 said, when you embrace all the truth, when you embrace what I'm teaching, that's how you'll know that you're my true followers. For if you embrace truth, it will release more freedom into your lives. Because when you embrace more truth, it'll release more freedom. The King James Version, I believe, says it like this: he who the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen. And Tori's already said this, but I want to say again, the Lord desires for you to walk in complete freedom, not half freedom, not a piece of freedom, complete freedom. Free from offense, free from bitterness, free from sin, free from self-righteousness, free from the spirit of religion. Free from worrying and caring about what people think of you. Come on, I want to say that again. Freedom from all of these things that so press up against us, that cause us to worry and concern, and we're trying to navigate through, we're trying to fix it all, we're trying to figure out a way to do it. And so we go through life so many times with all of these struggles that are not really created for us to struggle with, because we're trying to do it on our own. Michelle texted me in the first service as I was already looking at this, and she's talked about the scripture about leaving our works of the flesh. Just leave our works of the flesh and turn to Jesus Christ. So much of our struggle is the work of the flesh, trying to work it out. And as a young man, as a young man, I've never been afraid of a fight. You know, as a matter of fact, BC, before Christ, I kind of went looking for a fight. I had a little small man syndrome, you know. I got beat up a lot, by the way. But I went looking for a fight. And so when I became a Christian and a believer, I'm not talking about when I went to church. I'm talking about when I understood who Jesus was. That's another message there, but went to church all my life. But when I became a true believer, became a Christian, and understood who I was in Christ, I realized, look, this is not my fight. I was warring to be righteous. I was warring to do the right thing. I was warring to complete the task. I was warring to get it all done. I was a struggle going on inside of me that wasn't the Lord, to try to live for God. And when I came to the understanding that he's got this, I came to a place of rest. And the war is over. It is done. And when we understand that the war is over and we walk in complete freedom, it doesn't mean that we don't have struggles. It doesn't mean that we're not going to go through things that we would rather not go through. It doesn't mean that in our attempts to do the right thing in our marriages and our relationships with people and raising kids and just going through life, that there are not struggles. But what it means is that when we walk into the struggle, we stop trying to fix it for ourselves, and we put it at the feet of Jesus and say, I'm going to rest here, Lord. And we put down our swords and we pick up our pillow and we rest. And we rest. As many of you know, that we've moved and we're in a new place, but we're, you know, remodeling it. That's what you do. I think I'm going to do this one before I move out. But we're in the middle of that. And so the other day I had some things I needed to do. I had some studying and some things I needed to take care of. I had to leave the place I was, because I could not focus on where I needed to go, because all I could see around me was the struggle. Come on, somebody. I could see all the work that needed to be done. I could see all the things that needed to be painted. I could see the brush. I could see the bucket. I could see the wall. I could see all the struggle around me. And I had to walk away from the struggle around me so that I could walk in peace, because I need to find a place of rest. Let me tell you something. If you stay where you are and you continue to look at the struggle around you, the struggle will overtake you. But if you will rest in the Lord and find the place of peace, God will give you the provision you need for what you have to have. I don't particularly like the taste of eggs. I know people crack raw eggs and drink them. It's supposed to be healthy or something crazy. I don't know. Make you feel like a man, whatever. For me, no eggs, no raw eggs. Not going to do the raw eggs. But let me tell you something. Don't leave the egg out of my cake. What might not taste good raw is the very thing that you need to make the cake good. So we go through the things that we don't like the taste of to get to the things that God desires for us. Yes. And somewhere in the midst of all that, we have to lose ourselves. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, yet I live. I am dead to who I am because Christ is living in me. He wants us to live in this kind of freedom that's totally, totally abandons all the fear, all the doubt, all the worry. All, everybody say all.
All.
How many believe that you can be stress-free?
Amen.
Yeah. Now, I'm not going to ask you how many are. I'm just simply saying that there's a place that we can come to in Christ where we learn this place of surrender that changes everything about our life. As a hard-headed young minister, I had a mentor who kept speaking this into my life, and I didn't get it at first, but he kept telling me, you don't have a right. You surrender your rights to God. And I was like, that ain't right. That don't feel right. I have a right. For one thing, I'm an American. Come on, we have a philosophy like, well, I'm an American. I have my rights. Yeah, the problem is that we are Americans. And we're attached to this world instead of heavenly realm. I'm not against America. I'm for America. I'm proud to be an American. But what I'm saying is we get attached to this philosophy of the earth. And the philosophy of the world around us. And we get yoked to all of these things that who I am is identified with what's around me instead of a kingdom of heaven. And I don't want to give up my rights. I want to stand my ground. I want to say who I am. I want to fight for it. And in the process of trying to fight for my rights and not giving up my rights and surrendering that to the Lord, I stay in a struggle that's not mine. But when I understand that, yes, I am a pilgrim that's walking through this earthly place, but I'm just that. I'm of the kingdom. I'm under a kingdom authority. And I surrender my rights to God, and He begins to make a way for me where there seems to be no way. And it's a trust issue that we all struggle with. It's the ability to trust in God when we don't understand. Like, we want to understand everything. You know, like, if you want me to understand this, put it on paper and I'll understand. Let me see it. But if I can't see it, I won't believe it. I got to see it. The way I trust is to put my hands on it, to know this is real because I've touched it. I've smelt it. I've got a grip on it. But to trust God is to say, I can't put my hand on it, but I trust you for it. I don't have the understanding. I don't have the ability to walk through this. And so many times our struggle, we're trying to struggle to accomplish what God has already done. As Peyton said this morning, what God has already accomplished, we're still trying to struggle to gain. So the disciples, they're in the ship, and they're, look at the storm, and life is, they're just beside themselves. Now, these are the men who'd been with Jesus. They'd seen miracles. They'd seen the dead raised. They'd seen the teaching. They heard the teaching of Jesus. They'd been in close proximity with Jesus, but they were in a struggle. And what do? They acted like men, human. And they begin to throw all their stuff overboard, and they begin to get rid of all the things they possess to try to keep the ship afloat. Years ago, I preached a message about got rid of your stuff for nothing. You threw your luggage over for nothing. When they realized, hey, look, the one who's in control of it all is sleeping. He is at rest, and he's sleeping in the ship, and all we got to do is say his name. And here's what Jesus did. He comes and he says, boys, where's your faith? Where's your faith? Before he said, hey, listen, I got this, he said, where's your faith? Why don't you believe? Why did you get rid of your stuff first? You could have kept your stuff. You could have kept your sanity. You could have kept your fear, kept from having fear. You could have kept all your stuff had you just recognized the one you're with. And then he said, peace, be still. And it calmed the storm. Here's what the devil wants you to believe. He wants you to believe, first of all, that you're the only one in the storm. You're the only one. You're the only one that's ever walked through a tough time. You're the only one that's ever dealt with this. You're the only one that's had to deal with brokenness and hurt and pain and bitterness and strife and all that. You're the only one that's been left out in the cold. You're the only one who struggled. That's his first lie he tells you. And then the second lie he tells you is that nobody understands, and yours is worse than everybody else's. And then the third lie he tells you is, if he gets you to believe those two lies, he gets you on the third lie. Just throw in the towel and quit. It's over. It's finished. You're done. Circle slash, you're out. But all of those are lies. And when we step into truth, we step into freedom. And truth says, I am who he says I am. I will be what he's called me to be. I will walk in the goodness of God. And his mercies are made new to me every day. I get up in the morning and I put the bad day of yesterday behind me. I set my sails, and I just believe that God is going to take me through. Right. Well, what about the storm? So what about the storm? Yeah. What about the pain? So what about the pain? So what about the situation in front of me? So what about the situation in front of me? So ask the question, who is in charge of this deal? Has God ever abandoned me? No, he hasn't. He never will. And he's in the middle of our situation. Heather, you can come. And he's already throwing a party. And he's already celebrating. And he's already excited about our victory. And he's waiting for you to show up at the party. Oh, you didn't get that. Like, we don't come to him and we, beg and plead and grovel and, if only you, God. He's knocking at the door. He's saying, hey, let me in. I got the answer. Just ask me. Just come on, please, ask me. Say my name. Open the door. I've got a party going on in here. It's for you. I got a celebration. It's for you. I'm standing on the porch and I've already got a party. I've already got a table planned. I got a banquet planned. I've got a fatted calf, and I have a robe, and I have a ring, and I got everything that you want and everything that you desire. The table's set. I'm just waiting for you to open the door. I'm knocking on the door. I'm excited about you. It's the faith to believe that, yes, I'm going to go through the storm. Yes, I'm going to go through situation. Yes, I'm going to deal with pain. But I'm going to do it rejoicing because I know what's on the other side. What's on this side? Because when the sun sets me free, I'm completely free. I'm not half free. I'm not two-thirds free. I'm not almost free. All my life, I grew up in church, and they was talking about the revival we were almost about to have. The breakthrough we were almost about to have. Y'all don't even know this terminology because we don't use it around here too much, but we were praying through. What were we praying through? We were trying to bust through the wall of victory, and we had our sledgehammer out, and we were pounding on the wall of victory. Come on, I'm going to break through this wall of victory. Just imagine with me for a minute. You're pounding on this big wall of victory trying to get through, and God's over there standing with the door open. I'm trying to get a breakthrough. He's going, come on in. There's a table set for you. Almost there. I'm almost escaping hell, but not quite. There's a little flame on this left foot. I'm almost into victory. I'm almost about to win. I'm living on the almost all the time. And God's saying, no, you're living in victory if you could only just see it. If you could only just believe it, I got a party going on for you. Come on in. I'm going to be honest with you. Growing up, I thought it was holy to struggle. Man, if you were struggling and the devil was fighting against you, you were doing something great, powerful. Half time, it wasn't the devil, it was your flesh. I was out fighting the devil. I'm fight the devil. I'm declaring victory over the devil. I'm calling down fire, demons, crash down, bless God, praise God. I just break every stronghold. And the Lord's like, please, would you just get over yourself? She said, the only fight you're fighting is between your two ears of this imagination of that's not of my. This wall that's not there. Come on, I'm preaching to somebody today. If you could just see that you don't have to take the sledgehammer out, just come on in. Just come on in. I see in the spirit this morning, it's like walking up to a nice hotel. And they rolled out the carpet. You're getting out of the limousine. It's the red carpet. I'm one of God's kids. So much of us have a Motel 6 mentality. Well, I got to kill all the roaches before I get into bed. I got to make a way. I got to persevere. I'm just living in the worst of the worst. And God's like, come on. Come into my palace. Because you're one of my kids. I wish y'all get what I'm feeling in this morning. Just come on in. I got the table set before you. So good. He loves us so much.